Good morning and welcome back to another edition of High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, right here on Talk 960, brought to you by Providence St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high desert. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high desert, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We're keeping it local with high desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us every weekend, Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's get to it.
Well, good morning, high desert. You know what? This is really a special show,
Roxanne. I love a new guest, and thanks for listening to tuning in to High Desert Dialogue.
And you know, usually I say, oh, I've known somebody for so long.
You know, everybody.
Yeah, and guess what? This is the first time that I've met this gentleman.
Right? Awesome.
Now, I've heard about him, but this is the first time that we've met.
Well, welcome.
And I am so happy to welcome to the studio this morning William Wormley of the Wormley Orchards. And he's also a local entrepreneur here, doing some wonderful things here in the high desert. He also does some work with, I believe it's VVC and some other educational entities like that in our community. So first of all, I just want to say welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We are so happy to finally meet
thank
you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And have you here. And so we're just going to jump in. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, because when we initially talked, I think you told me you were a farmer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so talk to us a little bit about how a young man like yourself becomes a farmer.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank y'all for having me. The pandemic, I'm going to be all the way honest.
Okay.
You know, we were stuck in the house and people were wondering where they were going to get their food from and this and that. And we actually lived in a small space, a small kind of apartment, and I started growing in pots and stuff like that.
You know?
Yeah, and then God blessed to get our home, buy our home in Hesperia, and saw the land, and I said, and I just started growing, and you know, and then how I started selling, it was just posting stuff on social media. And people, hey, I want to buy that. I'm like, oh, you do? Okay. And me being an entrepreneur, we already owned a barbershop, the Shop Barbershop in Victorville. And I said, hey, I can turn this
into something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And that's exactly how it happened.
You know, I always say we don't really know the impact of COVID, and we won't know for a number of years. But I'm always happy when I hear that something positive came out of it, because there was so much that was not positive.
Right.
So that's wonderful. So I want to ask you a question, because I always hear people saying, you know, a lot of things don't grow here in the desert.
Yeah.
Right? So what type of things do you grow?
I grow a variety of things. And it's so funny that you say that, because when I moved into my neighborhood, and they started seeing me growing, you know, they're, you know, my neighbors, some of them, hey, I don't know if that's going to grow out here. I don't know if anything grows in the desert. And, you know, they're older people. And so I get to growing it, and they're like, hey.
Can I do it too?
Yeah, you know, and so.
So that, what kind of things, though?
So right now I grow tomatoes, different varieties. I grow sunflowers. We grow herbs, oregano, parsley, basil, mint.
Okay.
And all that stuff grows easy.
Okay.
You know, the desert has some of the most, we have a good soil. It just needs to be replenished with nutrients.
Okay.
So sandy soil is good for plants that the roots grow deep, but we don't have nutrients. So, you know, you add nutrients back to the soil, anything can grow out here.
Wow. Because I've always heard that, you know, whether it was flowers or whether it was, you know, food, you know, that there was just here in the desert, just a lot of things will not grow. So it's good to hear that. So tell me this, outside of COVID,
mm-hmm.
kind of being an inspiration, what do you love about farming?
That you can, you know, create something, you know, you're helping create something from the beginning. And being an entrepreneur, being able to basically skip the middleman,
mm-hmm.
that's what farming offers, you know,
right,
in a way. And long as you take care of it in the way that you're supposed to, you can grow and produce anything and make a living off of it.
Wow. So few things. Gives you opportunities to work with your hands.
Yeah.
Right? To kind of commune, as they say, with nature.
Right.
Right? For something so small as planting seeds or whatever it is, to growing something that actually has value, because everybody's now talking about how the cost of food and
yeah.
how expensive things are, right?
Right, right.
And so to be able to say, well, hey, all I got to do is go out in the back.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, you were kind enough to bring us a beautiful salad.
Yeah.
And it looks really nice.
Yeah,
and
you know,
delicious.
That, yes. Right? So talk to me a little bit about how you've been helping to partner and collaborate in community by educating people. I learned about you through VVC.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you had done some work with them, was it last year? And then you were doing something with them this year to kind of help educate people
yeah.
about farming.
At one of their agriculture classes, I was asked to speak about the business of farming, which is a lecture I've given maybe three times, one in Sacramento, one in Fresno with the USDA, and one with the SBA. And so in 2022, we were the SCORE mentors, African American Farmers of the Year.
Yes.
And the thing is because when I got into farming, I already knew business. And a lot of it is getting your paperwork and your business correct and having it. So when I'm doing this and going to the seminars with them, and I already knew a lot of the stuff, and they were like, well, William, we need you to show
yeah.
these other farmers, our
help
beginning
educate.
Farmers
yeah.
and ranchers that
other part.
Yeah, they need to know this part before they come and ask us for all this money
right.
that they think we have. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So that was my thing, and so the business of farming, I spoke at an USDA in Fresno, and then I did it at Victor Valley College. And I just basically, it's just a seminar on things I've collected on what I had to do to actually start a farm from scratch.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And the resources that I used and, so I'm working with VVC I work with them. I don't know what we have in the future. Hopefully this interview, VVC,
listening.
Yeah, listening.
Yes.
So
and also our local schools, too. I
yeah.
mean, for next school year.
For
yeah.
kids.
A lot of agriculture, classes that students can have.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm working with Lime Street Elementary School.
Oh, great.
We, Wormley Orchards, helped rebuild their garden there.
Wow.
So if y'all want to go check it out.
Yes.
And Miss Hollis is the one. She helped me. We helped each other. She's a teacher, been there 27 years. Yeah, I've been taking care of it, but she needed some help. And me and my son came in and helped rebuild their garden. Now we're talking about some things through the community schools.
I absolutely
yeah.
love that, William. I love what you're doing in the way of those types of partnerships and collaboration, because I always say we're stronger together when we work together and partner as community.
Yeah.
And the things that we can get done are amazing. I actually think that it's hugely important for us as community to see men who look like you.
Yeah.
Doing what you do.
Right.
You know, we're both African American.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a farmer
yeah.
in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he grew tobacco and corn
yeah.
and I mean you name it.
Right.
You know, so that farm to table concept was exactly what as a little girl I grew up on,
yeah.
right? You know, because that's my grandmother would go out and, you know, pick the beans and we had those for dinner and you know,
yeah.
corn and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So at one point in time, that was very much a part of our, a rich part
yeah.
of our heritage. And so, you know, now it's like, I think we were talking a little bit earlier off air about how things are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's being an emphasis placed on communities of color
yeah.
engaging in farming.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm so happy to see that you're at the forefront here in the high desert of kind of lifting that challenge, if
yeah.
you will. Are there some upcoming events or things that are going on or be going on relatively soon that community might come out and be a part of?
Yeah, so we are having our second annual Farm to Table event.
Wow.
And, you know, we're just going to have everything is going to be grown from, you know, all the dishes and drinks and everything is something that was going to be grown and made from the high desert.
Wow.
And so that's going to be June 27th, and that's going to be in collab with Saving Greens.
Okay.
Homestead, and she's doing a lot of things in the community, and she helped me with the Farm to Table. We did, not help me, we did it together, 2022, and it was a success, you know?
Great.
Is it open to the public, this event?
Yes,
okay.
Open to the public.
So it's open
it was
to going the
to
public.
Be on Eventbrite. You're going to be able to check it on Eventbrite. And I will have, you know, it's not up yet. So, but.
Well, let me ask you this. If somebody is interested, because it's coming up on
yeah.
June 29th,
yes.
which is not a long time from now.
Yeah.
So if somebody is interested in finding out more information of how they can attend and be a part of it, or I don't know if there's sponsors needed or,
yeah.
you know, that kind of thing. How can they contact you to get that information?
Okay, you can contact us on our social media, Wormley Orchards on Facebook, Wormley Orchards on Instagram, Wormley Orchards on TikTok. And, you know, my number, 442-247-1195. Easy to get,
right.
Remember, and just contact William Wormley.
You've told us a lot of things. We want you to stay in touch.
Yeah.
We want you to send us updates on what you're doing out there in the community
okay.
so we can share with community and have them come out and support. Eat well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right? And then support some of those other efforts that you're doing. It's
mm-hmm.
been a pleasure to talk with
yes.
you, to
yeah.
meet you. We will definitely look to have you come back and share with us, especially as we get into the fall, because I'm not sure I understand what kind of things we should be planning for fall and winter.
Yeah.
So you can tell us kind
yeah.
of what that should look like, right?
Yeah.
But thank you again. It's been a pleasure to talk with you today. We appreciate you.
And I thank you.
Okay, so Roxanne, we are back again. It's a beautiful, beautiful weekend here.
Thanks
in
for
the high
joining
desert.
Us.
And you know what? I am excited because I haven't seen this gentleman for quite some time.
Ah.
But he's such a friendly face. And always being in his presence, I just feel joyful, right? And so it's my pleasure to welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, Sam Grandlinard. Did I say that right?
You did, Regina.
Ah,
hey! Who is the vice president of Southwest Gas, the SoCal division. And Sam, you've been with them 13 years?
13 years.
Does that sound about right?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. I am so happy to have you here and have this opportunity for you to share with us a lot of what Southwest Gas has been doing in the community. And you just didn't get started doing these things in the community, right?
Correct.
So why don't we just jump in and you kind of tell us a little bit about what you guys have been busy doing.
Well, I think one of the things that would be good to start with is I don't think a lot of people know that we've been here since 1931.
Oh, wow.
Southwest Gas started in Barstow. And Now we're in all of Arizona and Nevada and this part of California, but started in that small community nearly 100 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
So it's not just a California-based company?
It is in these other two states as well.
Wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's about 2.2 million customers over those three areas.
Wow.
So when we talk about that we care about what's going on in the community, that we're involved, that we have an ownership of the community, it's because a lot of our people were born and raised here. They've retired here. We've got generations of people that have worked at this company locally here in the High Desert. So we take it serious and about what we can do to improve our living and the community around us
mm-hmm.
here.
And what is some of that that you can do, that you're currently doing? What does that look like?
So three really cool buckets. One is you got the employees and what they do to very generously give dollars. So we have a program set up called Fuel for Life, and it's a workplace giving program. So employees voluntarily give their dollars to local agencies. We actually have an employee committee that comes together, and they pick these agencies around the High Desert and up in Big Bear and Barstow, and they come back and say, these are the ones that we care the most about at this time, and a variety of different things, mm-hmm. education and arts and sustainability and community betterment. And then over the course of a multi-year period, the employees will donate directly to those agencies.
Wow.
And it's, again, the buy-in's wonderful because they picked it. And the partnerships are close. So we'll have those agencies come visit the employees on our campus. They have interactions. They develop relationships. And then, again, the employees get to see where those dollars are going,
yeah,
and the
results
good
of the,
that happen.
Where those dollars are going and how they are helping. What would some of those agencies, I'm assuming that maybe some of them are nonprofits, or what do they look like? I mean, because you said they're around education. Are they shelters? Are they?
Yeah, you've got all the buckets there.
Okay.
You talk about some of these that are used to help elderly. Meals and Wheels type programs, family assistance programs that benefit veterans, programs that are helping those that are homeless, those that are searching, you know, for resources and other help, hospice programs, Boys and Girls Clubs. It just goes on.
It's very diversified,
and
very
again,
inclusive.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So that's one bucket.
Okay.
Second bucket is then what the employees do to give their time, which I particularly love because everyone has different opportunities depending where they are in their life about what they can do to give. Some people can give more money. Some people can give time.
Right.
And so our program for the employees is called Blue, and that's Building Lives Up Everywhere. And that's, again, a volunteer program. That same committee that puts together the opportunities to give dollars in the community, they put together the opportunities to give time. And so there's multiple events held throughout the year to work with some of these agencies that we identified, and then other agencies as well, for employees, their families, and friends to just come out and just give their time.
So everybody can get involved. So
absolutely.
You have employees whose their families – with the kids and the wives and the husbands and all of that, come out and actually hands-on.
Yes.
Right?
So like in the last year, there were two really notable events. One is we worked with the High Desert Second Chance.
Yes.
Right?
Food bank.
A lot of huge food bank.
Yes.
And they supply a lot of other food banks in the areas. And so we had, I think, almost 70 employees, family members, and friends come out and worked for several hours to then help box up and distribute food to over 700 cars.
Yes.
And it's just humbling to see a 6 or 7 year old kid all the way up to someone that brought their grandma or their mom, 80 something, and they all are just there to serve. When you do that for hours on end together and you're seeing directly the good that's happening, the spirit's palpable.
Yeah.
It just feels good. You feel joy.
It
and
does.
Everyone gets done at the end. They're tired, and they're like, this was so good.
But it was tired for a great cause, right? I mean, it's just so rewarding.
Yeah. And then we had another one where we worked with the Southern California Mountains Foundation. So again, had a lot of employees, families, and friends come up, and just outside of Crestline.
Okay.
And just they did worked in the mountains, right? And just out in the beautiful environment that we have, and we collected seeds, planted new seeds, cleaned up trails, repaired fences, just beautify and help people to appreciate the wonderful area
right.
that we have. And again, just to see the range of people and to just see everyone coming together, giving their time, giving up a Saturday to just go help. And then it's just wonderful to see how people want to take that and they go and do further efforts and
yeah.
help these agencies, even outside of what we do.
And Sam, that's one of the reasons why I was so grateful that you accepted the opportunity to come and talk to community and share what's going on, because to me, this is exactly what it looks like when we lock arms as community, right? So we have business, we have nonprofits, we have the areas of education, and the members of the community who reap the benefits and are served by these type of opportunities that are made available. And it wouldn't happen if we didn't lock arms. It wouldn't happen if the college didn't lock arms with Southwest Gas, you know, so on and so on. And so I really was excited that you said yes, because I think our community really wants to hear and know. And sometimes how else will we know that unless we hear from you directly? So let me say on behalf of community, thank you. Thank you to Southwest Gas for the amazing job that you not just started doing, but that you've been doing, right, and continue to do, and your commitment, right? And then for creating an atmosphere, an environment where employees, right, are encouraged to get connected to community and support where they best can, right? That's wonderful.
That's the feel-good part. We actually call it fuel good.
Yes.
Which there's a real meaning behind that, right? And it's like, find joy in giving. Find
yes.
joy in making things better for somebody else. And be proud of where you live. Do something to improve it.
Yes.
And it is fantastic. And you had mentioned just about the interconnections. You know, there's 450,000 odd people in the valley here. And that sounds large, but then it's still very, very small townish in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So, you know, people that you'll see, I'm on different, I have different opportunities to serve up here, and you see a lot of the same people. And the benefit of that is that we can get resources up pretty quickly when we see a particular need.
Yes.
And you've got, I just wish I could express, there's so much good that goes on, right? To a lot of people that might not see what is happening on a daily basis in the community. Like, I love being able to talk about what Southwest Gas is doing, but there's so many businesses, there's so many different entities up here with that same mission,
right?
Just trying to improve the community.
Right.
So as much as we might read about what's happening that's sometimes not always positive and happy, of course, that's reality in the world. There's so much good happening.
And you're absolutely right, and that's the reason that Roxanne and I really want to continue to do what we're doing by bringing that good, that positive, right, that's going on in our community to the forefront. And making sure that community can connect and know that organizations like yours are doing this amazing work and locking arms with, and not only just writing the check, which is important.
It is.
We won't minimize that, but also hands-on, boots on the ground, getting involved, right? So I want to thank you for that. Now, are there any other things that you want community to know? Because, like, if I smell gas,
should
I be
doing
something? Is there anything that you want us to know?
We're approaching summer. Do you have any tips of any kind or more resources for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, probably one of the biggest things, safety. Safety is number one, right? So if you smell gas, that rotten egg smell, which we intentionally put in the gas, that's to give you that awareness of something's not right.
Okay.
Call 911. Call the gas company. We respond to every call. We don't prioritize certain people over others, whether we think it's a big deal or not. We respond to everything. Everything to us is an emergency. So please, please, please don't hesitate to call.
Great.
Be safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then just don't hesitate to contact us if you want to learn more about what we do as a company. If you go to swgas.com/community, you can learn about what we were just talking about here, our wonderful employee and company community efforts.
Okay.
You can learn about our energy share program. You can get help if you know someone may be struggling with their bill, if they need some of those resources and assistance. If you want to just learn about the projects we have going on, learn more about our company, all the information is there.
Is there. Okay,
absolutely.
And tell us one more time, that's if we go to
swgas.com/community.
All right, just /community, and we can find all that wealth of information, and especially if there are any nonprofit executive directors or members of nonprofits that are looking for the opportunity to learn more about how maybe they can get connected and involved in those programs, they can go to the website and then find that out, right?
Correct.
Great.
Yeah, and then we want to continue to encourage people. You know, our employees are often out on weekends. We're doing things like promoting Safe Digging Month. We talk about the summer, one of those tips. I know that in the summer we're not looking so much for heat. We still want hot water. But people are out in their yards doing things. So if you're going to dig, call 811.
Okay.
And that's a free service, and they come out and they mark the lines, and that's for all the different things underground, and make sure you don't hit something.
That's important, Sam, for my husband who is listening. Say that again. If he's digging out in the yard,
call 811. Just give a couple days before. Free service will come out. Make sure you are working in a safe zone.
Yeah. Okay, honey.
Yeah.
Write that number down.
But we support Earth Day events. We're constantly around the community training and working with contractors and businesses so they can operate properly, and we can operate in unison on that daily basis. There is a lot of work going on in the high desert.
Yes.
From a multitude of different businesses. There's a lot more coming. This place is growing. And so we really, not only the community partners, again, from the charitable standpoint, but it's making sure that we have the relationships with the municipalities and the businesses. And we want to be a good business partner. So I would probably leave it with, if anyone ever has a question, there's something we can do better, there's something that we're missing, let us know. Contact us. Contact one of our employees. We want to always be open-minded, have our ears open, and find out what we can do better.
Well, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
We appreciate the amazing work that you are doing as a partner in this community. And approximately how many employees do you actually have that are here in the high desert?
We've got about 165 here, and then we support several hundred contractors.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, and I'm going to extend an open invitation that you're welcome to come anytime you want to share anything that's going on that you think community would be interested in knowing, because we want to keep us well-informed, educated, right, and tied into those pathways that help us to become a better, healthier, thriving community. So, Sam,
thank you
for spending this time with us this morning. And thank you for the amazing work you and the employees are doing. We're just grateful to have you here and that you are a friend.
Thank you so much. And thank you both for your time and this blessed opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you. Part of our conversation. You can reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at roxannesgaffiti@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, has been brought to you by Provident St. Mary Medical Center. COVID-19 cases are rising in our high deserts. Make your appointment today to protect yourself, your family, and our community. Schedule your free appointment at a convenient location near you through myturn.ca.gov. Message brought to you by trusted friends in the high deserts, Providence St. Mary Medical Center, and the San Bernardino County Department of Public Health. We'll talk to you next weekend.